where they rise in the blue of heaven's dome. Many years I have spent in that place of sweet content. Those mountains call me back to my Montana home.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Perception Management into beautiful Western Montana. Today is May 3rd, 2020. Join us in the chat room there at perceptionmanagement.chatandgo.com. Kenneth, as you know, is in the control room, should his services be needed to manipulate the phone lines. I've titled tonight's show, Why the U.S. Wages Wars and the Lie of Bringing Democracy and Freedom to Others. And that's going to go right along with what we're seeing right now happening, because what was once done abroad is now being done here at home. As many Americans know, the Federal Reserve is buying up everything to protect its capital in a country that's ran under disaster capitalism. This means that the Fed will privatize ownership into the hands of a very small elite to control all venues of wealth, businesses, people's lives, as well as their debts. Don't be fooled. This isn't capitalism, but this is socialism and communism raked together. And it's being ushered in by both political parties. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And go as far as making sure that Donald Trump wanted his signature on those socialism checks. If you haven't seen Naomi Klein on disaster capitalism or her shock doctrine, you should. If you've ever watched any of her videos, the ones you should revisit, as I just mentioned, is the shock doctrine, which they have been using in country after country throughout Central America, South America, even Russia, and other countries, and this is now being deployed here in America. Milton Friedman himself said that capitalism is greed. I remember my mother once telling me that how bad greed was. It was the fact of when she heard others saying they wanted it all and they wanted it now. I have a video for you that's coming up here. It's going to take you back to 1955. And it's a classroom. And many of the participants that are in this classroom will be thrown into the Vietnam War on November 1st, 1955, when 5 years earlier, that's when Ho Chi Minh, an ally to the Western powers, would then declare Vietnam's independence at the end of the Pacific War with Japan, as well as the creation of the 1943 Cairo Agreement, that Japan's unconditional surrender would return all islands and territories back into the hands of Communist China, who again then was a U.S. ally, which today is why there are so many constant crap about this Spratly Islands. And of course, this goes on to with China making more islands because of international waters and territories it extends there. Their dominion out another 200 and some miles from their original area. But anyway, so let's look here. I have a video here. It's about 10 minutes and 8 seconds long. And I want you to look at the history of capitalism and pay close attention to how they work this entire thing out so that it's not capitalism. At least it isn't for you, the people.
For today's topic, let's join now a group of young people at the National Education Program Workshop, Arkansas. At the classroom lectern is Dr. Clifton L. Gaines, Jr., noted young historian.
We have discussed socialism and communism in our last two classroom sessions. Now, founder and director of the National Education Program says that if each generation of Americans will develop a clear understanding of our American system of capitalism, how it works, and the comparative advantages it produces for all citizens, then neither socialism nor communism ever will become established in America. So let's see if we can develop a better understanding of capitalism. But first, who will define for us the term capital? That is, in its economic sense. All right, Joan, suppose you define it for us.
Well, money. Capital's money.
That's right, but only partially right. Let me demonstrate. Here is a dime. Suppose I take this dime and buy some ceramic clay. Now then, my money, which is capital, has been converted into raw material, which it logically follows must also be capital. I mold this clay into a child's toy animal. You would regard the energy expended by me as capital. Now, when I finish, I bake this clay toy in my oven at home. This oven, or any machine I might use in achieving the final product, must also be regarded as capital. Then I add the final touch and sell this toy for 39 cents, or at least I try to. And if I should succeed, I take the 39 cents, reinvest it in clay, and start the cycle again, employing again all the forms which capital may take, as raw materials, as energy, as machine, and so on. Capital, in a few words, is money at work producing things. And since I am in charge of the cycle, I'm a capitalist. Yes?
Well, what if you have to borrow that money like so many businesses do to start that cycle?
Then that makes the lender a capitalist, too, since it is his money at work producing something, and he becomes a part of the cycle. Capitalism is a system in which economic wealth or capital is used to produce goods for sale, or in other words, to produce new wealth.
But, Professor Gaines, aren't there different kinds of capitalism?
Yes, there are, and the differences can be vitally important. State capitalism is often the first stage of socialism. We might say that state capitalism exists when the government achieves a combination of ownership and control in business and industry large enough to permit it to dominate the nation's economy. And there are forms of capitalism in which production and distribution are governed by cartels, or monopolies, fixing prices and permitting no competition. This form existed in many European countries in the time of Karl Marx, and during this century, before socialism or communism gained control. Yes, John, an important fact that we must emphasize is that American capitalism is quite unique. There never has been a system quite like it in all history. So let's examine the structure of American capitalism. There are three great pillars. The first and foremost of these is... Who can tell us? All right, Louise.
Isn't it the principle of private ownership of property?
Yes, it is. This principle of private ownership is undoubtedly the most fundamental element in the structure of American capitalism. Consider, for instance, home ownership, which is a bright American goal for most of our people. The desire to own one's own home, one's own property, provides a real incentive for almost all Americans to bring out their most productive efforts. In the American system, what's yours is yours. What you do with it is your business. You can squander it away, or you can work harder and produce more and have more. The principle of the private ownership of property is the number one target of the socialist and communist. They believe in government ownership and control. Karl Marx in the Communist Manifesto wrote, "The theory of the communist may be summed up in a single sentence, abolition of private property." So private property is the foremost pillar supporting the American system and our personal freedom. That brings us to the second great pillar. Who can tell us what it is? All right, Mary.
The profit motive.
Yes, indeed. This is the stimulus that brings private ownership to life and expands its usefulness to society as a whole. In one sense, profit is property. When an individual produces more than the basic living requirements for himself and his family, the surplus is profit, which he can use as he sees fit. An automobile is not a basic requirement for survival, nor is a television set. Yet most American families want them and have them, because all normal human beings want more than the bare necessities of existence. The capitalistic principle of private ownership gives them the privilege of earning and keeping enough wealth beyond their food and shelter requirements to afford to buy the other things they want.
But Professor Gaines, what about the individual who doesn't produce a product of his own? What I mean is, what about the employee, the worker?
Well, you remember we said that energy is capital. Ability is capital. When we as employees work for someone else, we are not selling our time, we're selling our services, our ability. When we get paid, if we save a little of our income, we are profiting. And we can become employers if we wish and if we can develop management capabilities. Many of America's greatest industrialists were employees who saved and developed their capabilities. If we do not develop into employers, we still can become producers or capitalists by investing our surplus, our savings, in some enterprise which is producing something. 18 million ordinary Americans own stock in businesses and industries. If I borrowed money from you to make my clay toys, you would become producers, since your capital would help produce my toys. The business world is full of actual examples. General Motors, for instance, is just a group of people who with their dimes and dollars are producing products for sale. There are more than 500,000 stockholders with their savings invested in General Motors. And why do they invest their dimes and dollars? They want to make a profit. It is a normal, wholesome motivation.
Dr. Gaines, I once heard a clergyman say that the profit motive is not a good motive.
Do you agree with him? I'm sure the clergyman wasn't a socialist or communist, but that happens to be what the socialist and communist say about the profit motive. And yet, most converts to socialism and communism joined up because of the promise of personal benefit or profit. Would a clergyman be able to fill his church if he told prospective members that there is no personal reward or profit in giving one's life to God? How many of you students study at dinner each evening instead of having the momentary pleasure of some favorite pastime? I think you would want to say that study can be work. What motivates you then? A desire for learning, a desire perhaps for good grades, but with the belief that in the end you will render a more valuable service and receive more for it. If you didn't hope to profit, you wouldn't study. What I'm trying to say is that the profit motive is active in most human behavior. That's important to remember. And now to the third of the three great pillars in American capitalism. All right, Gary.
The open market.
Yes, the open competitive market, where anyone can offer his wares for sale at whatever price he can get, is a benefit not only to business and industry, but to the individual as well. Let's go back to our toy animal illustration. Let's suppose that we develop an ability to make attractive little ceramic toys, and that children all the nation want these toys. We expand our enterprise, probably on borrowed money, and begin making profit. Another toy manufacturer, seeing our ceramic toys cutting into his sales and profit, does some research and finds that he can make an unbreakable toy very much like ours and sell it for less money than we're getting, at the same time making a profit. He can do this because we have a free, competitive market in America, challenging achievement.
If you believe that stuff, that was some good propaganda there. Let's go back to where I first started here. Remember, September 2nd, 1945, in front of a crowd of hundreds of thousands, this Ho Chi Minh over there in Vietnam had declared an independent nation. He began his speech with the words familiar to American school children. All men are created equal. They are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you watch any shows on Vietnam, on these documentaries, you'll see that along the Mekong Delta over there, that those poor Vietnamese slave their little bitty skinny bodies off. They're only paid by the state a certain amount of money, and that grain, that rice, comes to America. 70% of what they do comes to America. But where am I going with this? Well, this immortal statement, like Ho Chi Minh made, it was like our Declaration of Independence here. And we see that our liberties are all being stripped from us. And if you can't see it, even our freedoms, that you're basically blind. But those parties to this capitalistic adventures, like bankers, politicians, and corporations who invest in this, become borrowers, and they can't stand the idea of anyone's declaring their independence. They hate those who don't play ball, live off the grid, or in general, just won't go along and, like say, for us, grow our gardens and stuff. You have to be out there as slaves, as part of their capital. And for many, you send your children to war as their capital to steal from others the resources, like that clay he was mentioning, or the copper that runs through your house and your electrical wires where it's mined. This capital is all gained from someone else. And of course, this comes to these third world countries that the United States has been at war with, hoarding oil, gold, everything. And of course, they point to those other countries there as whether they're communist or socialist, and look at their bad, bad leaders. And we have to go in there and overthrow them to put in a Western friendly or internationally approved government, which is usually, I have another video coming up, and it'll describe that. But I'll have to do it after the break here. But the Trump administration declared that Nicaragua was a national security threat. How often do you guys hear of Nicaragua in the news? Are they attacking U.S. boats or anything like that? No. What'd they do that? A day after that, the U.S.-backed far-right coup over there in Bolivia, the White House released a statement applauding the military push over there, making it clear that the two countries were next on Washington's targeted list. These events send strong signals to the illegitimate regimes in Venezuela and Nicaragua, Trump declared. Read that article on Global Research. But it's important that Americans really, really need to see what's behind those highly secretive, alleged free trade deals, and why it is so important that we constantly hear about this great military. And with the help of the self-admitted liars like Secretary Pompeo of the CIA, that these military are used as capitalists to go into those countries. And I'll be right back right after this, so stay tuned.
If you want a lover, I'll do anything you ask me to. And if you want another kind of love, I'll wear a mask for you. If you want a partner, take my hand. Or if you want to strike me down in anger, here I stand.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. With all my country heroes.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Perception Management with Keith Rogers here in beautiful Western Montana. Now, I ended off there with Trump and Pompeo there and this capitalist society that we have here. This is where the United States has for decades now overthrown countless countries after countries after countries. And why? Because they are the capital that's needed to keep the wealth of this country going. It enslaves those victim countries to mass deaths, austerity of debts, and to ensure the profits here to all that invest in that carnage. You need steel, copper, whatever like that. You know, that's how it works. And the way they do that is they overthrow these governments and they put their fascist dictators in there and who are willing to sell out their own countrymen. So that's how it works. But before I play this next clip here, I have two little stories here that I want to read you. I want you, the listener, to think of how the State Department bought those Toyota 4x4 trucks for the FSA-backed terror group in Syria, and how those same Toyota 4x4 trucks would wind up in the hands of ISIS, those death squads, as well as all them TOW missiles and other arms. Remember, I read to you last week about all the arms and ammo and stuff that was sent to Syria through the State Department. Headline from Fox News. The Army won't suspend contracts with Al-Qaeda-tied companies, citing due process rights. Well, here in America, our guns are being taken without due process. Yes, we, alleged free Americans, are being labeled as radicals, while the U.S. and the CIA arms those same radicals abroad. Makes real sense, doesn't it? Even Trump himself says that to take guns early without due process. President Trump suggests taking guns from some people before they even actually go to court. And now we have Canada, where Justin Trudeau up there has just announced that the Canadian government on Friday announced that the immediate ban on about 1,500 models of military-grade assault weapons. The ban comes less than 2 weeks after the deadliest mass shooting in the country's history, in which a gunman used a weapon that will now be outlawed. However, here back in America, as with the article from Military Times, if you kill for the state, a child of 16 could use an assault rifle. This is from Military Times, where it says lowering the age of enlistment to 16 could be another alternative. For one, many of the factors that disqualify older youth from joining. Yes. Okay, if you kill for the state, and if you're 16, you can have a gun. So, we're going to get on this video here, but I don't know if I should ask. I don't know what my timing is going to be here. All right, thank you, Kenneth. There we go. I was just going to type it in. So I'll tell you what. I want you all to listen to this. This is your government at work. And I want to preface this with one thing. When I hear callers on RBN, I know we all have our rights of a freedom of speech for now and everything like that, you know. But when people talk about the illegal immigrants and stuff coming into this country, murdering Americans by stabbing them because they wanted to get into some MS-13 gang that was down in El Salvador or Honduras that Israel is supplying arms to and all this stuff like that, you know. But whenever I hear that, it's like, don't these people realize whatever was done in those countries, which would want to make people flee and come to America, you know?
We live in a world that has grievous economic problems of the kind that have caused world wars in the past. The United States, the world's richest country, is a debtor nation. For the first time in 70 years, the world's biggest debtor nation. And the debt's getting worse and will get much worse because of the arms race. And the third world debt is called the debt bomb because they can't even pay the interest, so they're getting loans to cover the interest payments, which means they're double compounding the debts, which means they're going to be defaulting. They're already starting to. Four countries have. Which means that in the next few years, lots of them are going to default. And then we're going to have major banks perhaps collapsing, and nobody knows what to do about that. The Center for Defense Information counts 40 or 50 wars that are being fought, in which they estimate 4 or 5 million people will die. And the United States is teetering on the brink of its next war, the Central American War. And in this world that's about as troubled as it can get, the CIA, the United States, has a policy of supporting low-intensity conflicts all across the globe. The CIA is running them. This policy is called the Reagan Doctrine. Congressional Oversight Committee staffers tell us the CIA is running a total of 50 covert operations. We know of about 6 or 7 or 8 big ones that they're running. This means with this figure of 50 that we're destabilizing to some degree about one-third of the countries in a world that's already about as unstable as it can get. And once again, these subjects interrelate. Nuclear arms race, conventional wars, CIA destabilizations. I'm going to approach this subject from CIA covert operations. I was in 3 of them. I was a manager. I was chief of base in the Congo, dealing with mutinying CIA mercenaries, Jean Schramm and Bob Denard. I was upcountry in Vietnam, managing operations there. And I was the coordinator of the Angolan secret action in 1975. The Nicaraguan thing, I'm going to dwell on it a little bit the most because it's the most interesting in some peculiar ways. Not the most important, not the most expensive to date, not the most people being killed, but it's the most open. And it's the one that's most likely to lead us into our next war. By most open, they've kept the borders open to Americans. You can go to Nicaragua without a visa, go through customs, rent a car, get on a bus, tour the country, and see for yourself. Over 100,000 Americans have. I have 8 times. And our Congress is debating what we're doing there, down there openly. Our president is debating it openly. To put it another way, we are openly discussing illegal, brutal, covert, not covert, operations against another country. So we're going to take this Nicaraguan thing apart a little bit because we can analyze it. And then you can go down and see for yourselves if you have not already. This covert action is a technique they call destabilization. That's not a term that I coined. For example, the CI director, ex-director Bill Colby, referred to this as a destabilization recently. The State Department, you know, has been saying all along the purpose is to attack economic targets. What they mean by destabilization is you have a government you don't like, and it's targeted, and it's whimsical. They will attack a country for a few years and then back off sometimes and become friends with that country. We have dramatic examples of that. To put pressure on this government you decide you don't like, you set out methodically to rip apart the social and economic fabric of the country. You set out to create conditions where the farmer can't get his produce to market, where children can't go to school, where women are terrified inside their homes as well as outside their homes, where the hospitals are treating wounded people instead of sick people, where government administration simply grinds to a halt and things cease to function, and international capital is scared away and the country goes bankrupt. In Nicaragua, our destabilization began in July 1981. It became a formal program in December 1981 when Mr. Reagan allocated the first $19 million to the CIA to form this Contra Force. Now, we have a unique insight into this particular operation because in November of 1982, a few months later, Newsweek wrote an article, November 7, you can look it up and read it for yourselves, deploring the fact that we're plunging in again into another third world situation, committing ourselves to one course of action, to one side from which we would have great difficulty in withdrawing with honor later on. They pointed out that these Contras, formed from Somoza's ex-guardsmen, were, as they put it, the only truly evil, totally unacceptable factor in the Nicaraguan equation. They pointed out that neither the CIA nor the White House thought these people had any chance of ever winning power in Managua. So Newsweek asked, why were we doing it, getting committed to unsavory losers? And they answered their own question. They said the purpose was to push the Sandinistas into a more radical position from which we could attack them more openly. Remember that. I'm going to get back to it in just a minute. So we created this force of Contras. We recruited them into Honduras. We funded them lavishly. We put uniforms on their backs, boots on their feet, guns in their hands. We gave them training. We gave them medical support. We gave them base camps. We gave them arms. We directed them. We supported them with airplanes. We flew weapons and arms into them. We supported them with the U.S. military. Our CIA picked from overhead surveillance targets and told them what to strike and warned them when the Sandinistas were coming. Our Navy going up and down the coast, protecting them as they raid on the coasts. Our Navy supervising the mining of harbors to support this operation. Systematically, for the last 6 years, under our direction, these people have been blowing up granaries, sawmills, bridges, government offices, schools, health centers. They mine roads, they ambush trucks, they raid farms and villages. We have all kinds of documentation of this, if for no other reason that we've had 100,000 plus of our own citizens down there taking pictures, writing down the names as people are killed. Assassination is a part of this program. Now, we've got lists of names of the people they've assassinated. We can tell you almost to the number how many teachers, health workers, religious workers, elected officials, government administrators have been singled out and killed in this thing. Terrorism is part of this operation. Now, you are horrified when the media makes a big event out of terrorism in the Mediterranean. They shoot an old man in the head and push him off the side of a ship, and you're horrified. Nothing could be more terrible than that, could it? Or when they bomb an airplane or spray an airport with machine guns. But there's lots worse than that that you can do to people, and the Contra are doing it. They go into villages, they haul families out, with the children forced to watch, they castrate fathers, peel the skin off their face, put grenades in their mouths and pull the pin. With the children forced to watch, they gang rape mothers and slash their breasts off. And sometimes for variety, they switch it around and make the mothers watch while they will slit an 18-month-old baby's throat. Over 5,000 people killed in this thing. This is the figure the New York Times publishes. It uses currently. The figure is obviously greater than that. This is nobody's propaganda. It's been documented and condemned by the World Court, by the Presbyterian Church, by the Methodist Church, by broad segments of the Catholic Church, and once again by the 100,000 American witnesses who've been down there witnessing, taking photographs before the blood and the semen is actually dried in some cases. As you know, Mr. Reagan remains unapologetic. He seems to take delight in saying, "I'm a Contra." He calls these people the moral equivalent of his founding fathers. And the world gasped at this incredible confession of his family traditions.
You know, that was ex-CIA John Stockwell. He, like others like Ralph, Philip Agee and Ralph McGee, and there's many others that have finally come forward and talked about the atrocities that have been done in your names to other people. And as he mentioned here, Americans then were free to travel to get those areas to verify what was being said or told to them by their government. Now, well, the U.S. just places travel bans. They stop sending aid, medical, and other means to support life, all to further demonize the leaders who were legally elected by their own people. Yes, they hate democracy in any way. They hate independence. You're not allowed to have a vote in what you want done in your country. And that, you're going to see that coming up here in the rest of the show here. But division, you know, division itself is the nature to keep us in fear of one another, like the social distancing, the apps now on phones that would follow movements of law-abiding Americans. Plus, don't forget also the billions and billions of dollars used to build theirs, not ours, militarized police state, for which for decades within the Pentagon's, the DHS, the TSA, NSA, FBI, and we'll never know how much the CIA's budgets are, that are used to destabilize this country. And yes, the CIA is operating inside of America. And like abroad, that suddenly calls for some U.S. intervention into an area. Send in the boys. Suddenly we have troops on American soil, a militarized police state out there, telling people they have to social distance, stay in their house. The governor said so. And it well should be alert that when you see this fascist and Nazis this government is supporting and propping up elsewhere, billions of dollars, and they in decades can't secure the borders and hit you with all that fear porn that some enemy is coming through the borders. If they are here, it's because they were let in here. Got it? Remember the name Mike Springman? Go back to right after 9/11, he was a man who spent two decades as a high-level Department of State official, at one time in charge of issuing visas out of Saudi Arabia. Mike Springman has been trying to tell people the most important news about the direct connection between the CIA and 9/11 for more than a decade. Like I said, if they're here, they're let in here. If drugs are in this country, they're let in here. All to further destabilize this country. And yes, all them countless lives of those mainly American boys for decades now, which are all capital again of those U.S. corporations and bankers who were sent to gain the resources, have been sent off to those wars to stop the very things that we now see here thriving inside America today. Phone lines are open, 1-800-313-9443. In all my reading of history, I have never read where Hitler had sand poured into these bike and skateboard places for kids, or used drones to tell people to stay 6 feet apart, or closed beaches in this country's coastlines. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I'm going to show you how bad this socialism is getting here, but I got a call here, so I'll go ahead and take Dan over in Washington State there. Good evening, Dan.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. You're talking about, destabilization, and I always think back to Waco, Texas, and just all these wars we have, the war on drugs, the war on this, and it's just we're in a constant state of, terror, basically.
Yeah.
We can never just be happy.
Well, that's terrorism from your own government, because, see, the government is issuing those who's the enemy. I don't think that, like me, I'm 59 years old. I don't think I need to be told who my enemy is.
No, and back to the capitalism versus socialism, I've heard the name Huey Long, and I went on YouTube today to hear what he was about in his speech, and Huey Long was basically a populist socialist from Louisiana, but he gave a speech basically where he was talking about Standard Oil, you know, we would have a free market, but if you did just nationalize, you could have a private oil, but he was saying Standard Oil, the shareholders could only earn like a maximum of like $3 million. And then anything above that would get distributed directly to the American people, kind of like Andrew Yang. But I think of history, how if they would have nationalized just the oil, you know, you wouldn't have had the Rockefellers, you wouldn't have had this secret government we have. You know, I feel like because Rockefellers and these people that controlled the oil and the banking, you know, they've taken over the government a long time ago. So
yeah, but there's a clause in what you just said, though, because, see, the Fed is nationalizing the oil now, too, as well as other utilities. Let's go back to March 27th, 1942, and this is where Senator Truman, right after Pearl Harbor, said, "Here's an agreement made with the enemy in whom we are actively at war, and here's our greatest corporation, Standard Oil, holding patents absolutely essential to the war program. It is an outrage." I mean, they don't care. They will fund both sides of the war. They don't care. I mean, imagine all those Japanese gunboats running around with Standard Oil additives and stuff to make it so their fleet could sail. And they're out there, what, killing American boys?
Yeah, I wonder if they would have nationalized it. Like if Huey Long became president and they would have just said, hey, you know, instead of doing all that, we're just going to build roads and, hey, maybe get rid of the property tax for everybody or, you know, hell, let's get rid of all the taxes except for oil, you know, just have oil pay for everything. At least it would be in the open, you know.
Dan, I said the same thing, you know, that like Venezuela, it was buying up all of Latin America's debt. And the way to stop Venezuela from doing that and freeing all those countries from the IMF, the mob, you know, they put three administrations of sanctions on Venezuela. So now as Venezuelans are starving by the millions, the U.S. can say, look, they're eating their cats and their dogs, you know. And that's that's like John Stockwell. You know, they constantly demonize these countries to get the Americans on board to say we need to intervene. In the meantime, you've got Americans crapping the streets, millions living in tents, under bridges, in cars. But that our socialism is okay.
Yeah, I think we'd be better off with just having a king. If Rockefeller would have just said, hey, I'm the king, you know, it would be out in the open. Like, the Queen of Denmark, I think, owns Shell Oil, at least. At least you would have someone to blame.
Well, Shell Oil just took a massive hit, too. So, this is how bad it's getting. And it's upwards of 50 million now that are unemployed. And remember, that number was botched from before. So it's probably closer to 65 million, you know.
Yeah. That's all I had.
All right, Dan. Thanks for calling in. My best to you. Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks. Gregory in California. Good evening.
Good evening. Are you there?
Yeah, how's things going down there in the People's Republic of California?
Yeah, it's not too bad up here where I'm at. I'm just making the best out of the worst of it, I suppose. But, I don't call in much. I listen all the time. But you caught me again. You're a man after my own heart. When I was a kid, I saw that movie with Dustin Hoffman and Little Big Man. I cried so hard. I couldn't see straight. Still can't. Even just thinking about it made me think, even as a boy, that I didn't want to be a... I didn't want to be a part of this... this heinous criminal activity. And, you know, how many treaties did the moronic, lying bastards sign and broke with all the indigenous people throughout everywhere? And they do it all the time. They lie. And they lie. That's all they do is lie. If you believe them, well, I don't know. I've taken medicine with the Creek Indians. And I learned a lot about that.
Is that Black Velvet or... I'm kidding.
No, actually...
I saw a good meme on that. I should bring that out next week. We have a pretty good meme on that. And we live on a reservation, anyway, so it's kind of funny.
Oh, no, that's Crown there. Anyways...
I can hear it pouring.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Chief. Everybody out there. In fact, I want to give a shout out to all the callers. Good Lord, especially, well, hell, not especially. They're all good. I wish I could spend a
Gregory,
lot of time with Tom.
Gregory, do me a favor. Gregory, do me a favor, okay?
Yeah.
Gather your thoughts for a second, like that. I want to read just a couple things here, okay? De Blasio pitches plan to seize private property and problem landlords. And a candidate in 2020 presidential race wants the federal government to seize private property of dozens of Texans under the dubious pretext of national emergency. Another headline, the Democrats plan to nationalize land. Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts has one-upped socialist Bernie Sanders and Alexander, or they call her AOC, I guess. She proposes to nationalize every major business in the United States of America. Andrew Cuomo deploys military to seize private property wherever the problem situation is an authoritative statism. Democrats love socialism because they want to take your stuff and enslave you. Congressional Democrats want to put more cameras and sensors on private property, and the President of the United States is encouraging aides to break the law by seizing swaths of private property along the southwestern border to build a wall. And disguised as a rent cancellation, the squad now proposes a bill that would give the feds power to take away property rights. The squad, led by this Omar and of Minnesota, has introduced new legislation that sounds too good to be true. And guess what? It is. Under the guise of rent cancellation, the squad's new bill would literally give the federal government the ability to take away Americans' property rights. You're all being played.
Yes, indeed. I mean, that's self-evident. It goes beyond the pale, even. And they're getting a lot worse. But my point being is that this so-called government, and it's not government, this corporation, let's call it, because it's a dead entity. And anyways, they lie. And the Creeks have a saying that if they catch you in a lie, they won't have anything to do with you anymore. I mean, what's the point? You're lying. What am I going to believe from you ever again? I'll love you, and I forgive you. But you're a liar, and I don't like you. I'm not like you, and I'm not going to give you any more of my precious moments. And by golly, everybody out there, we only have so many precious moments to exist on this glorious. I mean, I'm living in paradise right now, and it's not going to be here much longer because the one worlders, you know, another thing. I think if we could change, I tried to expound this on to John and some other guys on the network. If we could change our vocabulary to a more precise meaning, like money, get the true definition of that, which is precious metals coined at a mint. And then currency, the con that we've been programmed to believe is money, which is nothing more than what I call Rothschild slave tokens. You got to be really precise, and that gets a lot of people's attention. What the hell is this? And so you can strike up conversation just by, you know, your grocery store, and it's
Right, I got a break coming up here. Yeah, I got a break coming up here, Gregory. You want to hang on?
If you want me to.
All right, hang on. We'll be right back.
Straight.
Lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All my life I've been so lonesome. If happiness came, I missed the call. All my dreams have been so aimless, and now I'm so tired of it all.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Perception Management with Keith Rogers here in beautiful Western Montana on Republic Broadcasting Network. We're talking with Gregory. Gregory, before I let you continue there, I want to read a Persian proverb one of my Iranian friends sent me. An idiot friend kills the fly in your face with a stone while you're sleeping. Go ahead.
apropos.
I talk to so many people around the world on Twitter and on VK and stuff, which is equivalent to Facebook, you know, but you wouldn't believe the memes and stuff that are passed around, and a lot of it is all said in humor and stuff, because we all know that regardless of what government, they're all a joke, you know.
Oh, they're not even a joke. They go beyond in fact, it's my definition for beyond stupidity is government. And they really do suck the big hind one, because it's all just well, it's corporate. It's not government, because we're supposed to be the government. And I've been so abused and used by this moronic system. I don't even want to go into that poopy. That goes beyond the pale. But it's just the fact of being taught one thing all your life, wanting to go to war and kill, 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 and then finding out that my purpose is for life. I'm alive. I'm self-evident. I'm breathing and enjoying life, and then start looking at the other living creatures around me and say, hold on now, they're alive too. They have awareness. They feel. And then when you find out that the Indians, before old Chris Christopher Columbus came across, they used to talk with trees and animals and everybody. They could relate. But, no, we don't do that anymore. We kill everything. You know, glyphosate, Monsanto. Oh,
speaking of that, Gregory, speaking of that, and we were on a native thing here. When you look at how the natives used to be, they when they had to kill something, they used everything, the horns, everything like that. They even used the hide to protect their feet when they walked across the ground. Under corporatism and this capitalism, under this capitalism there, they kill everything in sight and they use the skin off of the dead to walk across the planet to protect their feet.
Well, I'm up here running around in poison oak and blackberries and all sorts of fun things. And I love being barefoot, man, because when you're grounded, it really does help to send the energy through you. And I love being out in the sun.
I hear your birds in the background.
When it's getting really hot, what do you hear?
Your birds in the background. Are they social distancing or?
No, in fact, I had to call up the aviary place, and these birds are actually fornicating. And to watch Western Canada fornicate, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, have you ever seen a Western Tanager? I tell you what, and my grosbeaks are back. Oh, I love my grosbeaks. They have such a glorious sound. You know, just to get off the mundane death menagerie for just a little bit, but I truly am.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
I had to throw that in there. Anyway, hey, that's the end of the show there, Gregory. I had to let you go there, but you know, in tonight's show, I'm just trying to show you those that were in power during the Iran-Contra scandal are still in power today, and I can prove it, including Donald Trump. But anyway, thank you, Kenneth, in the control room, all those listeners in the chat room there, and also on the RBN. Please help support RBN. Robert with Incendiary Radio is up next. Please tune into his show there, and we'll catch you all later next week there if we're not in some kind of a lockdown. So have a good evening, and 73 for Montana.
Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.